second, India have won the Test match. India have won the series. They're going to get back for two. India are home. Lords goes wild.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the 81 All Out podcast. This is your host, Siddhartha Vaidyanathan. And I'm joined today by the regular crew, Mahesh, Ashoka, and Karthikeya. All of them, I'll link their handles on X. I'll link Karthikeya's Substack and all the articles that he's written, which are relevant to the topic today. T20 season and IPL is going on in full swing. So we thought we'll just continue with the theme. I mean, in the last episode, we spoke about bowling in T20 and how little of a leverage bowlers really have. So this time we thought we'll switch it around a bit and talk about the other side, the batting, or as Karthikeya likes to call it, hitting in T20. You know, that's another episode we did last year, batting versus hitting. And you should actually listen to that if you haven't. I mean, it really is an interesting episode on how batting has been looked at over the years and how this new format, batting is actually a handicap. And there are, of course, this new breed of hitters who are needed and who are thriving in this format and who teams are looking for. I mean, this is not an easy skill to possess, hitting. And so all teams don't have as many hitters as they would like. So they're trying to seek them out and add as many hitters as possible. Anyway, so the question here is, I mean, are we now, given what we're seeing in this IPL and what we have seen over the years, question is this some kind of a inflection point for the format and for the league? And, you know, this has been reminding us a bit of a time in the, say, late 90s or early 2000s with respect to one-dayers, or maybe even like the mid-2000s, when you suddenly notice a period of time when teams are pushing the envelope, the larger scores are coming more frequently, the bigger chases are happening more frequently as well. 200, 210, 220 used to be a massive total in T20 not too long ago. It used to be like a match-winning score, but not anymore. And teams are getting really close. Teams have pulled off large chases. Rajasthan, you know, pulled off a massive chase and set a record. So looking at the trends in hitting and T20 scores in general, and also trying to understand if this is a point, like sort of a marker, this IPL is a kind of a marker for how the format is played, how people look at the format. I mean, of course, for a long time, it was considered to be a shortened form of one-day cricket. And then there was slowly, gradually an understanding that it is a completely different sport and a different format, and you have to view it differently. There is still a talk among the commentariat about, you know, needing a balance between bat and ball. I mean, this is like when there is a score of 250 plus, people are like, where is this game headed? We need a more balance between bat and ball. But I think we have discussed in this podcast that it is not even possible to have that because of the resources, you know, because you have 10 wickets for 20 overs. And so automatically there is very little leverage for the bowler. So rather than looking at a balance between bat and ball, you know, I think the better way to see it is how much more can teams score, and what are the efficiencies that they can actually build into their team to make, say, 300, 350, 400, you know, it's going to get taller. The scores are going to get taller. So the question is, you know, how teams are going to achieve that. Anyway, let me bring the others into this and see their thoughts on whether they think this is an inflection point and where they think it's going to go. Yeah, Ashoka, as the person who watches more IPL than the rest of us put together, I think you should start.
Yeah, so I do think, I felt that watching the IPL this year, that something in T20, you know, is changing. I don't know what's whether it's the water that they're drinking or whatnot, but we are seeing scores like 280. 280 would be an anomaly in a tournament, right? And then 2 years later or 3 years later, someone will touch 270. But in the same tournament, 280, 260, 270s are being breached like 4-5 times. And that, you know, is very unusual. And it makes it seem like 200 is something teams can reach very easily, unless, you know, the pitch is really, really bad and really slow, and or if the team has lost like 6 wickets in the first 7 overs. Other than that, those two things, I think 200 is something teams should easily reach, given the talent dispersal in this particular IPL. So that feels like a change in the way that, you know, how batters are thinking about the game, or how hitters are thinking about the game. And that, I mean, the weird part is this is slightly very sudden, you know, but when you mentioned the ODIs in the 90s and 2000s and all that, 300s used to trickle in slowly in the late 90s. And by the mid 2000s, 300s were, you know, at least in a month, there will be one 300 score somewhere. Someone would have hammered someone else for 300. And the chase would be quite close. And what that did to our understanding of ODIs at that point was, it's not that 300s are safe. It's that 250 and 240 were not safe anymore. That is kind of the thought that was prevalent back then. And similarly, right now, what I feel is that 160, 170, which used to be a very respectable score, which used to be considered a respectable score like 4 or 5 years ago, I don't think 160, 170 is going to cut it anymore. And that is a clear sign for me that, you know, hitting is far a little bit more efficient than it was 5 years ago. So that's where I'm at. And I don't know the reasons for this. I mean, the straightforward reason is that we have far more hitters and they are good at hitting far more types of deliveries, like the slower balls, the Yorkers. They have far more range. And that is why there is this inflation of runs. You know, other than that, the ground sizes are the same. The bats are as huge as they were like 4 years ago. I don't see any changes there. There is one change in the IPL, though, that is the impact player. But I genuinely don't think that that one thing has, you know, caused this kind of a run inflation. You know, people say that having an extra batter frees the mind and all that. But how much can it free the mind if there is one extra batter, man? If you're 5 down, you are going to waste balls anyways if you're 5 down. And if you're not 5 down, you're going to hit anyways if there are 5 batters to come or 4 more batters to come. So I don't know what if the impact player thing is the one that has caused all this run inflation. But I generally feel that batters have gotten really, really good at hitting balls to sixes. And that the weirdest thing about that is it feels very sudden. It's as if I'm noticing that now only in this IPL and not from 3-4 years ago.
So, yeah, you're right about the one-dayers. I mean, the change in one-dayers was gradual. I remember, in fact, in 2013, there was that match India against Australia. Australia scored 359 in Jaipur. And India chased it down in like 43 overs with Shikhar Dhawan and Rohit Sharma opening, and then Kohli coming and getting 100. So that I thought was like a big turning point. I thought like 350 scores in ODIs will be chased now comfortably, but that still hasn't happened. I mean, you score 350 in an ODI, you're likely to win, you know, 9 out of 10 games still. So, you know, 2003, and you're talking like 10 years, 11 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, the ODIs have still like sort of been in 300 to 350 range, I think, at the moment. And teams chase 300, of course. I mean, 310, 320. And teams have scored 400 and 400 plus and all. But at the same time, I think T20s, the change has been becoming a little more rapid.
No, and another point there is like when a team scores 300 and 315 in ODI, it is not the thought that this will be chased. It may be chased or it may not be. That's not the point. What there is a clear shift in thinking. No, now you know that 250 is no longer sufficient, or 220 is no longer sufficient. You know, if in a 250 match, you know that this is not a safe target, boss. I mean, unless the pitch is really bad. So it's the lower end of the spectrum that seems inadequate. It's not the higher end of the spectrum is now achievable. It might, maybe or may not be. A team may hit 250 in a T20 and you will not say, okay, fine, they may chase it or they may not chase it. But if a team hits like 160 or 150 in a T20 anymore, you would definitely say that this is not enough. So it's just the lower end spectrum that keeps moving up. It's not how much more you can achieve at the higher end.
Mahesh, thoughts on the sort of more big picture. In fact, you can probably mention about the how formats and ODIs v T20s, and if you think that there is something that's changing here.
I mean, I could sense that something is changing. I must admit that I only watched the highlights, and mostly because my son is deeply interested in it. I did watch a couple of Sunrisers Hyderabad games live. And you could see that finally the format is getting to that sort of efficiency that we've been talking about. I mean, okay, I do have some sympathy for this comparison with ODI, discovering its efficiency versus this. But at the end of the day, I think in terms of ODI cricket, at that time, cricket was not as professional as it is today. There was not as much money. There was not so much sort of, private ownership, and which is so focused on winning. And even then, it accelerated. I mean, if you look at the number of years, it took us a while. But if you look at the number of matches, we reached there actually reasonably sooner. And also, like, the switch from Test cricket to ODI cricket was not as dramatic, to be honest. 50 overs is still a reasonably long time to play with 10 wickets in hand. Sure, I mean, Gavaskar, like, 36 is quite rare. But, a lot of... And like Richards discovering the format right away, Clive Lloyd playing it like so well right away. But those kind of things didn't happen as much in T20 cricket, to be honest. Even the early sort of pioneers were not, they were better than the rest, but they didn't really crack the format the way it's meant to be. I mean, 10 wickets in 20 overs is a lot. It's a lot of luxury, right? Like, it's not about, Kashyap was pointing about the impact player thing. If 10 wickets doesn't give you the luxury to go take a swing, I wonder how the 11th wicket is going to add to extra liberty. So I actually believe that T20 took, given the professionalism, given the money involved, it took way longer to get to this point. And we are still seeing only some signs of it, right? It's only some teams which seem to have cracked it, some batsmen who are taking chances. I mean, even in this IPL, Kohli is still talking about being in control. And, KD pointed out in the last chat as well. So for such a professional league, for so much money riding on it, and for so much professionals working on it, right? I mean, there are so many analysts, so many coaches. I'm still amazed that there is so much inefficiency in the league even now. In fact, on the contrary, I would say if at all we have to argue that this is an inflection point, it's come too late. If you have to compare it to, let's say, the evolution of ODI cricket.
Yeah, Kartikeya, as somebody who has been talking about this for years and years, and who has been writing about T20 and the format and the lack of leverage for bowlers, and generally looking at it as a contest and trying to analyze what the contest really is this must be in a way heartening for you, right? To see some teams actually play for want of a better term, proper T20.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not particularly novel, no. I mean, it's fairly obvious that this is how they have to play. So, yeah, and they're finally doing it. Mainly, they have players to do it. I mean, this 2024 IPL is the first one in which players who had not won an international cap before the IPL, this year's IPL, are scoring quicker than players who have won international caps. So there's a definitely a sort of a players, the sort of the pool of players is sort of, there's a generational shift perhaps in that pool. And you're seeing that mostly in the, you know, Abhishek Sharma, Ashutosh Sharma, and, you know, various other players, like, you know, now, I mean, Rinku Singh doesn't count among these players because Rinku Singh has already played for India. But there are players who haven't played for India who still count in this measurement, and who haven't played for any international side who count in this measurement.
And that, so by international, you're saying, I mean, non-international, you're limiting it to India or across the
board? No, all. But most of them are Indians, no, because it's like 7 yeah. out of 11 players are already Indian. So, yeah, but I mean, the thing about ODI cricket is that there was no evolution in ODI cricket. There's generally no evolution in any of these things. You know, the change in ODI cricket was by the deliberate design of the ICC. You know, the ICC wanted to get rid of the middle overs. The ICC wanted to get rid of bowlers not bowling to get batters out, and batters content to milk the bowlers to, you know, with 5 fielders in the boundary. So they tried it in several ways over a decade. You know, they introduced the power plays. They introduced the system where captains could nominate when to take the power play. Then they tweaked that and played around with that. Then they introduced a large fielding restriction, which is that they said, okay, you can have only 4 fielders outside the circle for after the main power play. Then they tweaked that again in 2015. Since 2015, it's been pretty stable, and scores in ODI cricket have actually sort of come down a little bit, marginally, by about, you know, 1 or 3%, I think, since they introduced that rule allowing the extra fielder on the boundary after the 48th over. So the thing that happened in ODI cricket is that the people who set the rules changed the rules, and the rules were changed precisely to end what was essentially a defensive stalemate, you know, where bowlers are not trying to get the batters out and batters are not trying to hit. You know, so, and this was, they used to call this the middle overs problem back in the day, you know, and the, you know, that sort of got killed off, and then India also got caught in this, you know, because India was playing finger spinners in the middle over, like Harbhajan Singh, Ashwin, Jadeja, and they were not really getting wickets, and so that's why India moved to Kuldeep and Chahal, the wrist spinners, in 2017, and Kuldeep and Chahal got them a lot of wickets. I mean, Kuldeep and Chahal got them about 2 wickets a game on average, whereas Ashwin and Jadeja were averaging just over a wicket a game. So then wicket-taking bowlers in the middle overs came into the ODI game, and then that's for the new efficiency was. So the T20 is a little different. I mean, I'm not really sure how much of an effect the impact player has had, but other than that, there have really been no rule changes in the T20 format. You know, it's not like the quotas have changed. It's not like they've changed you know, fielding restriction rules or anything like that. You know, the rules have basically remained the same. But what has happened is that there's less batting and more hitting now, you know, as in volume terms. So that's the big difference. I mean, that this year, for instance, in the IPL, in a good year in the IPL, until before 2024, a good year in the IPL meant that the openers were scoring at about 140. And, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 were also scoring about early 140s, runs per 100 ball space, you know, strike rate. And a bad year meant that the openers were scoring about 130 and the middle order was scoring like the late 130s. You know, that's the pattern from about 2015 to 2023 in the IPL. You know, and this year, the openers are scoring at 152. The 3 and 4 are scoring at 149, and 5 and 6 are scoring at 152, and 7 and 8 are scoring at 156. You know, so it's not the case that wickets are not falling as often. Wickets are falling just as often as they have in all recent years. But, you know, batters are hitting more and batting less. So they're taking more chances. I mean, they're hitting more balls to the boundary. Like 22% of attacking shots are going to the boundary compared to like 17 or 18% in the last those 8 years that I mentioned. So there's a lot more efficiency. I mean, a lot more spot picking going on. A lot more batters are, you know, willing to take a chance. And I mean, to be fair to Kohli, even he's been willing to take a chance. But I mean, he's still barely keeping pace with the average batter of the year. You know, so you know, I mean, even he is recognized, I think, the need to change. You know, but even there, you know, there are some sort of telltale signs in which sort of tell you what a batter is. Like Shreyas Iyer, KL Rahul, Virat Kohli, all of them, they say this thing, you know, where they say, oh, it was my job to take responsibility. You know, what that means is that I decided to stop hitting, you know, because I would have to keep one end up. And it never works like that, you know. Because it's like a self-defeating proposition. No? You, what are you saying? You're saying that, well, I'm going to play slowly because I think the rest of my players are not that good, are not playing well right now, quote-unquote. Well, then you're basically admitting that you're losing. No, and what's more is that they're not playing well, so you're also deciding not to play, you know, not to to concede deliveries uncontested, you know, by not attacking them. So this whole business, I mean, that's basically the distinction, you know. If you're hitting, then there's none of this, you know, take responsibility stuff. You have to hit. You have to get the most out of each delivery, you know. And if you get out, then the next guy has to do that. That's how the total gets built, whatever it does, to whatever extent that it does. And that's why you need like 6 or 7 hitters in your side, so that, you know, one or two of them come off and on the average day and you do well. You know, there will be times when you're bowled out for 90, but that's okay. That'll happen once in a while. You know,
the moment you see somebody talking about T20 in the same vocabulary that they would an ODI or a test, then I think it's a red flag. It's like, okay, that's wrong. The irresponsibility and all, you're just shielding yourself for things that you didn't do. So
no, the definition of responsibility is different in a T20. No, you have only 120 balls, man. What the hell are you doing defending or hitting it for a single? Oh, what is this? We will go nuts at the end. Why? What is? There is no end, man. These guys have created this false start. There is just two sections. One section of 6 overs where only 2 fielders are allowed outside. Then there is 14 overs where 5 fielders are allowed outside. That's it. That's the only 2 sections. What is this beginning, then middle overs, then end? These are all fictional things that we have made up.
It's like the story, you know, like we discussed, beginning, middle and end. So, but I wanted to point out one thing that, I'll link that Substack piece that Karthikeya wrote. One of the things in that is that the batting strike rate for non-internationals in the IPL, you know, that's quite a telling column where it's been like been hovering in the 120s for a long time. I mean, around the 120s and like 110s for a long time. And then 2022, you had did go up to 130. 2023, you had it go up to 139.9, almost 140. And now you have 154.8. So that's jumping like quite a major step up.
Yeah, because see, all these guys, Ashutosh, Sharma, Abhishek Sharma, or that Ankrish Raghuvanshi from KKR, they are all in their mid-20s, man. So they would have been like, what, 9 or 10 when the IPL began, no? So they are, you know, indoctrinated into this culture of range hitting and hitting various kinds of balls. So they will get better, no? So they are not the guys who trained young when there was no T20. when they were coming up, T20 was already a thing and they specifically trained for it. So the more this T20 goes, like into 2030s and 2040s, like in the next 20 years, you're going to have specialists who train only for hitting and only for hitting for a very short amount of time, because they know, because a lot of such people are going to come into a team and they know that they don't have to stick around for 20, 25 balls. And that is going to happen. And that we are already seeing. No?
Yeah, I think there was this lovely tweet I saw from Karthik Krishnaswamy, ESPN Cricket Info's Karthik Krishnaswamy, where he was talking about the Australian sensation Fraser McGurk. And the tweet said, every shot Fraser McGurk plays, no matter what direction it goes in, involves pretty much the same bat swing with only his footwork and alignment changing. I thought that was a really interesting observation because, you know, it shows you how, like McGurk is probably like a classic T20 player, if you want to use that term, right?
Yeah.
He's an orthodox T20 player.
Exactly. Yeah. He's the Pujara of T20s. Maybe, yeah. No, I think that is changing. I mean, even small things like, you know, this whole Sunil Gavaskar's line, right? Like you take a single after hitting a six and all. I think that is changing. Players are realizing that you don't have to do that. In fact, you're wasting one ball if you're simply taking a single and getting to the other end and all that. And that, I don't have data for it, but it seems more noticeable.
Those maxims are all... I mean, it's easy to laugh at what Sunil Gavaskar is saying, but he comes from a place where wickets are very costly, dude. If you lose a wicket, that's it. You're going to sit out for the next 4 days, I mean, under the stare of your coach. Here, these guys come out and hit a six. The next ball, if they're out, they've done a decent job. I mean, they've given their team six runs. That's fine. That's not a failure. Like we all laugh at Dhoni's four balls, five balls innings, but they are perfectly good. They're okay. I mean, if any youngster would have been doing it, it would have had far less hype because it's not Dhoni, but that's kind of a niche that perfectly helps a team. You face only five, you swing at all those five. There is no liability. You swing five, you connect three or four. That's fine. You've done your job.
I think you should just do that opening. Just open the innings, try and swing, and then get out. Then it's fine, right? I mean,
yeah,
you might as well do it opening than in the 20th over.
Yeah, that Travis Head and Abhishek Sharma are doing it because it makes so much sense, man. Like, nine people are inside the circle. You hit it, no. You have a lot of open spaces beyond the circle. And this is not like some new insight that in somebody's mind. Jayasurya's entire career is based on this. So, hit it, no. What is the big deal? All that 50 for no loss, respectable score at the end of a power play is all gone. These guys are scoring 125. The other day, they scored like 125 in 6 overs. That's like sheer madness.
Yeah, Ashoka, they're right. No, it is a respectable score. Whether it's a competitive score is a separate question.
125.
But respectable for whom? Who cares for respectable scoresmen in this format at least?
Everybody. Izzat bachane ka hai na. That is the... That
Izzat? What Izzat? What Izzat is there if you're
RCB losing, fans, CSK fans, they all want Izzat bachane ka. No? I mean, Dhoni's problem basically is that he's useless against spin. He's always been useless against spin in the IPL. So, and he plays very little. He's played as little spin as possible in the IPL. You know, so that's why he comes in as late as he does, because that basically guarantees that he doesn't play a ball of spin. I think he's not played a single ball of spin in the entire 2024 IPL so far.
Of course, he comes at like 18th, 19th over. Who will be bowling spin?
That's one of the reasons why he comes then. No, that's why they send Jadeja up, even though, you know, Jadeja is a pretty slow scoring player. Because they want to shield him. You know, this platooning has become quite good. You know, I mean, like yesterday's match, I looked at the scorecard. I didn't watch most of it. But it seems that, you know, basically the... What is that team called? Rashid Khan and Noor Ahmed. Who did they play for?
Man? Gujarat Titans.
Gujarat. So, the batting side was...
Delhi.
Akshar Patel and the other guy. Rishabh Pant. So, the point of promoting Akshar Patel was basically to counter the two leg spinners. And that worked superbly. Because what that did is that... they were not prepared to bowl what is that guy's name, Sai Kishore, as a consequence, because Akshar Patel was there, because they're terrified that of bowling a slow left arm orthodox to a lefty, so. And then when Pant also came in, it was like basically two lefties. So that promotion of Akshar Patel was a really good idea, given who was there in the Gujarat Titans. So their attack. So this is this type of thing is going on. I mean, CSK do this really well. They play matchups like all the time. Like, and how the way they use Dhoni is also part of that. Like using matchups.
But is it efficient? I mean, what? I mean, a guy like Dhoni coming in the 19th and 20th over, playing maybe 10 balls.
It is efficient.
Yeah, but you might as well. I mean, they.
No, but
I mean,
suppose he comes in the first or second over, no? The opposition is going to bowl spinners until he's there. And then then CSK is in trouble, because then if he doesn't get out for 10 balls, it makes only 10 runs or 8 runs or whatever it is. That's a problem for them, no? That's one of the things that you need in a player who's going to bat in the first half of the T20 innings. No? You have to be pretty good against all styles of bowling.
Him being limited against spin, or anyone else being limited against one kind of a bowling or a particular kind of a ball, is not a drawback. It is just that then the teams have to arrange and rearrange how the players enter. That's it. That is the way of finding efficiency, to your point, Sidney.
Yeah, that's fine. But I'm saying that, I think that there will come a time when more and more players will be more adept at hitting all kinds of bowling. And so then this whole thing won't match, will stop mattering, because you have those players will then open. They will hit all kinds of bowling and they will probably bat for like 10, 15 overs and get like a massive score themselves.
So, then what will happen to the contest between bat and ball? Our great game is a contest between bat and ball.
Yeah, great game where you need to give bowlers, apparently you need to give bowlers a little more incentive to do well. What incentive, man? I mean, what is all this?
These guys have amnesia, man. They ask who wants to be a bowler. Cummins got 20 crores, man. For 20 crores, he'll come and get hit for 700 runs every match. No problem. Yeah, Stark got 24 crores. Like,
but that's the thing. When all the other bowlers are getting hit for like 50, if you are getting hit for 40, then you probably are worth that much, because you are saving 10 runs at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, this is worrying, because the people who say there should be a balance between bat and ball are all people who are perceived to be the voice of the game, the serious voice of the game, or the expert's voice of the game. So I am worried that at some point these guys are going to meddle with the rules themselves to make it what they think is fair. They are going to, disallow something.
Reduce the number of wickets, it may actually help. Okay, but then so that is...
No, that will be like an ODI, but, it will still have the boring bits of, Karthikeya said there is this middle over problem. Middle overs are very intriguing, man. Even now, with all these rule changes, people are not going at 12 runs on over in an ODI in the middle overs. It's still intriguing. And there is still lot of contest. So I don't have a problem if somebody reduces the number of wickets, but it will still be considered boring. People like these 250 scores. I don't know who's not liking these 250 scores and crying for the bowlers. That's all. I mean, only 15 of 20 voices. My problem is those 20 voices are voices of experts, which will then be considered public opinion.
No, the thing is, I think there is this misconception that when a team scores 270 or 280, right, there is this misconception that it has all been too easy for them. But the fact is, like, you have players like Head and Abhishek Sharma and Klaassen and all these Sunrisers guys who are actually really, like, quite hitting in a different league, in a different zone, I mean. And so, appreciate that. No, like, say that, okay, this is what this format was meant for, and this is what it has finally reached. It is sort of reaching its potential with these kind of innings and these kind of players. But they are looking at it in the reverse way, saying, oh, this is so easy. Then what cricket will become, you know, what will cricket? It will become just have bowling machines and all. I'm like, no, but that is not the point. No, like, it's not like you want to see a 300 plus total. You want to see 350. You want to see it being pushed. And I think that is what originally in when IPL and T20 started, you're like, you know, people want to see sixes. So see sixes. No, you're getting as many sixes as you can now.
But the key question, Sidhvi, is if you have bowling machines, will it be powered by AI?
I think that is the future. That is the future of cricket. AI-powered bowling machines against hitting. Massively.
See, it will be powered by electricity, man. Come on.
No, it was a joke, but I think that's a nice thing to see. How will that be? That will be something that I would pay to watch. Rather than, you know, all this nonsense about contest between bat and ball. Man, you get contest between bat and ball in tests, man. Go watch tests. Nobody even watches tests. And there is a plenty of contest between bat and ball there. When you get those contests, it's generally boring because there is not much, you know, fireworks happening. It's very subtle, the battle between bat and ball. And it is very, you know, it requires a lot of effort to observe. So nobody is prepared to do that. No, you are just prepared to watch entertainment. And this is really entertaining. So entertain yourselves.
No, I mean, you also have comments from people like Dale Steyn saying that, you know, there are a lot of comments about bowling. But if you are a good bowler, then you will do well in any format and all. But he's not actually getting to the heart of the matter, no. It's like, it's not about good bowler or bad bowler. I mean, Kaisor Abada is a great bowler, man, but he does not have much to work with in this format. So why are you like saying even a good bowler will do well in any format and all? I mean, it's not about that. It's not like suddenly Cummins and Rabada became bad bowlers if they get hit for 50 runs in.
That's not what they mean by good bowler. Now, you're saying you're treating good bowler like a bowler who's difficult to play and who gets lots of wickets. That's not what a good bowler is in the colloquial sense. No, in the colloquial sense, a good bowler is a guy who terrifies you when he's bowling at your players. You know, it's like, you know, it's like when you're watching, you know, Indian batsmen batting against Glenn McGrath, it is like you're willing them not to fish outside off stump because there is danger over there. Just see the guy off. See the guy off. You know, where is the bowler who makes you do? He makes you feel that way nowadays. You know, like, how can a bowler make you feel that way if you watch the guy getting, you know, blasted for 50 runs in 4 overs, you know, every other week? You know, it's not, no, that whole. What people mean by contest between bat and ball is that, you know, it is like the bowler as a character is getting erased, you know, from the story. And that's a sort of the basic fallacy that the people are engaged in. You know, when people say, well, the balance between bat and ball, they're not really concerned with cricket as a sport or T20 as a sport. They are concerned with cricket as a story that they want to tell. No, those are two different things. You know, it's just like there is a formula, Bollywood formula film, and you know, you can't kill the main lead actor just before the intermission. Like, that's messing with the story. You can't mess with the story like that. You know, that's the gist of the complaint, no, about where is the game heading? You know, where is the game heading means what will happen to all the stories that we've been telling all these years? That's the concern. No. Whereas
you need a balance between heroes and villains.
Not a story.
Yeah, you need a balance between heroes and villains. The other thing is, in a test, right, if a team gets all out for less than 100, people say that batting techniques have just deteriorated so badly these days. People are not able to judge the moving ball and all that. But what happens to balance between bat and ball? There you don't want balance between bat and ball. No, I'm saying the way the description happens between different formats is quite puzzling.
But that's also not really a description of what people are able to do. No, I mean, this is like, people are voicing their disappointment at some particular guy who got out cheaply or some particular team who got out cheaply. Usually their team. And that's they're not really describing cricket. This is the conclusion I've come to about all this. I mean, it's a theology. It's not an observer's account of what they are watching. It's a theologian's account of what is virtuous, and what is not, and what is sacred and what is profane. That is what they are arguing about. This is what drives the whole thing about, oh well, you know, that batsman I knew back in the day, he would move his feet, he would have no problem batting against Nathan Lyon or some such thing, you know. And it turns out you look at the record and those batsmen had plenty of problems against the Nathan Lyons of their day, man. They did worse against the Nathan Lyons of their day than the current guys are doing against the actual Nathan Lyon today. But that's not the point. No, if you really want to understand like what this whole, you know, where is the game going thing, that sort of reflects an anxiety about characters and stories and, you know, things, you know, morality, which they have held to be sacred, you know, about, you know, what is a good shot? What is virtue in cricket? What is vice? This is also why people are so upset by the whole Mankading thing. No, I mean, it's because, yeah, it's legal and it's the law, but is it the right way to play? This is, and at its core, this is an inherently sort of theological question. No. It is not a question about a sport. It is not a profane question about a game. No, this is not like you say, you know, you describe cricket like you're describing a game of tic-tac-toe, as opposed to describing cricket as though you're describing some great novel, you know, or characters in some great novel. And people want to describe it like a novel, no? But in the process they maul it out of, you know, into unrecognizable shapes, you know, and for worse than unrecognizable shapes, it gets mauled into unsustainable shapes. So that's why people say things like, you know, what about the balance between bat and ball? So scoring 185 in 20 overs is balance between bat and ball, and scoring 225 in 20 overs is not. That doesn't make any sense, does it? The other thing, you know, which is that a 200 total has fewer flukes than a 160 total as a percentage of the runs. You know, I mean, the low scoring games have a higher percentage of runs which are scored from foul shots than the 200-220 match.
How is this? So, you've said this once before, but I've never understood it. How is this?
Because the number of foul shots produce runs at a slower rate than controlled shots, no?
Really? I mean, if a batsman is taking risks, I would say that there are more foul shots, no? Not
yeah,
less
Yeah, but
foul
most
shots.
Of them don't produce runs, no? I mean, most miss-hits don't go to the boundary. Most miss-hits just trickle away somewhere close by. They don't go for any runs at all. you know, the large, significant percentage of misses are actually plays and misses.
No. It's not like low control, high control doubt. Like, my whole question is, for to hit 13 sixes, he has to take more risks, right? It is a risky option, hitting a six rather than bunting it down, right? But the more risks you take, the more fall shots it produces. That's how it works, right? Or is that correlation not correct?
No, that's not how the correlation works. So, basically, you have to look at, like, what is the average expectation from a fall shot compared to what is the average expectation from a in-control shot. And the in-control shot always, the average expectation for in-control shot is higher than the average expectation from a fall shot. So the higher score is actually a symptom of the fact that more balls are not being missed, that the batters are timing the ball well and hitting the ball well, you know. See.
Also, if the ball is not heading to the stumps, and if it's like in sort of in your arc and you're swinging, is that really a risk? That is like, you know, I mean...
Well, you could edge it.
Yeah, you could. But I'm saying that if that's a shot that you have cultivated and you've worked on and you've practiced, and I mean, it's not like doing something that you are not comfortable with, right? I mean, it's a thing. The format demands it, you've practiced it, and you're playing it. And so, is it... I don't know about whether the definition of a risk, the way we would in another format, works in this way.
No, it does. I mean, it's still a risk. I mean, the risk is not... whether something is risky or not is not format dependent. Whether something is risky, it depends on what is the probability that what you are trying to do actually happens. You know,
But you want to take, like, okay, to give a analogy from a recent series, like that something that what Ole Pope was doing in Hyderabad, the kind of strokes he was playing,
is
carries that much more risk because they're playing a test match, and you know, your wicket has that much more value for if you get out your team. How it could affect your team. But in here, it is not the same way, no? The value of your wicket.
No, but the value of the wicket is irrelevant to the question of risk. Now, the question of risk is about, how risky is an action. How risky is an action depends on what is what is the probability of success for the action, not on what are the consequences of the action. No, risk is a point about the action. It is not a point about the outcomes.
Yeah.
I mean, a cover drive is equally risky whether you play it in a T20 match or a test match, you know, because you're equally likely to get out to a cover drive to a particular line and length, regardless of format. It's not the case that, you know, a wide half volley in a test match is not going to produce a wicket as often as a wide half volley.
No, but Karthikeya, I'm just saying, like in a test match, you have an option to leave/defend, right? Here, the number of options you have are limited because if you see a ball outside off stump,
so
you have to find a way to score off it. And
you're going to be less selective about the balls you hit cover drives to. But
that's
not really the point. No, the point is that given the same ball, how risky a cover drive is to that ball is not dependent on the format. So, I mean, it's not like this is the point. No, it's not like batters are going to bat differently just because it turns out that the wicket is, the ball is not coming onto the bat, no? Because they haven't got the option of playing differently.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So all this suggestion that you should spice up the wickets and have green tops and all that.
Yeah, you'll just have more flukes.
Correct. So in a test match, when you have green tops, batters play a certain way. But they will not play the same way in this. It's not like they're going to, you know, try and bide their time and all that. They're just going to swing anyway. So I don't know how... the whole sort of this spectacle, if you may call it, of watching a set of bowlers on a green top in a test match, how you think that will be replicated in a T20? It's not possible. The laws don't allow it. It's just some fancy sort of dream that people have, and it's not even going to materialize, even if it happens.
It's not even that. No, I mean, it's just something people are saying because they don't like watching 250 or 260 or whatever it is. Or even I don't even think it's even the case that they don't like it. It's just that it's odd.
Yeah, it's unfamiliar.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and there is this fear that we are losing something that we had.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you are losing something that you're not, I mean, what, you're not losing anything. In fact, you're gaining a lot more by this whole...
You're losing something inferior, man. That's all. Now things are getting better.
Correct.
Losing was meant to go.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, it's like when if you saw Jayasurya in the 90s, and if you saw him batting the way it is like you're lamenting about, you know, what the openers did in the 80s and how they played off the new ball and all. Come on, I mean, you can't. It's quite absurd.
We will get a different perspective of what's happening and how this runflation is viewed when we talk to someone younger, dude. Like someone in their mid-20s, if we talk to them, they have gone through like 16 years of IPL in their existence. Right from their childhood, they've seen IPL. To them, this might not be that, you know, big of a leap. Like in the 90s, it was not that big of a leap to me when 300 runs started. It was a new exciting thing. I was fine. I mean, we were going into places where we have never been before.
Bye took us there.
Yeah. So that was very exciting for us then. No? So I think the answer to this might simply be, with respect to commentary and expert opinions, is bring young people in. I mean, all the 60 plus year people, enough. Go see Ashes, go see BGT, whatever. Let these boomers commentate on tests and ODIs. Let young people go talk about T20s. I mean, that will give us at least a measured view on how, you know, someone who's more experienced watching it, or whose life experience is, you know, in sync with the format, they'll have a better view of this, an optimistic view of this, rather than all these test match aficionados talking rubbish.
You mean test cricket tragics?
Yeah, yeah, I think given that we are slowly approaching the boomer category, we should also stop talking about it.
What then? We are approaching the boomer category? We have shot past the boomer category by like at least 10 years. If you're over 30, you're a boomer. 30 is like unthinkable to these young kids. 30 is like half dead.
And I think on that note, we need to also wrap up this podcast. So hopefully, you know, some food for thought about the format going forward, and about batting, and about strike rates, and, you know, the sort of where you could expect things to go, and what to watch out for, more importantly, you know, when you're watching a T20 game or talking about it, rather than, you know, this tried and tested tropes of balance between bat and ball, or he took responsibility when he batted. You know? I mean, yeah, hopefully that will, over time, all that will fade away. Thanks, Kartikeya. Thanks, Ashoka. Thanks, Mahesh, for joining. And you know where to find us on X, that is at 81allout. Our website is 81allout.com. A couple of you were asking about War Minus the Shooting and Cricket Beyond the Bazaar, the books that we republished. They are now available on Amazon India, and they've been available on Amazon Global, all the other global sites for, you know, throughout. But it went out of, it was not available on stock in Amazon India, so we got that fixed. You can also contribute to 81 All Out via Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/81allout. Any contribution that you make is greatly appreciated. And yeah, we'll join you in about 10 days time for the next episode. Good night and take care.
India have won the series. They're going to get back for two. India